the e-commerce landscape has transformed into a versatile and unique space, offering today's companies, large and small, an opportunity to increase sales and grow their business. This podcast offers an exciting opportunity for PriceSpider to unite and empower the e-commerce community at large by providing insights in a thoughtful and accessible way, all with the aim of providing immense value to brand manufacturers and retailers alike. I'm Anthony Capozzoli, the host of the PriceSpider e-commerce connected podcast. And today's guest is Mr. David Howell, the owner and founder of Howell & Associates. You can check them out at davidghowell.com. For the past 17 years, David Howell has been a leading voice on and an expert at resolving issues related to anti-counterfeiting, unauthorized Amazon sellers, investigation of 3P sellers and product buys, online reputation, and brand management. He is a full-service online brand protection and marketplace channel management strategy expert. And he is our guest today. Today, we'll be talking specifically about the 10 things that you can do as a brand to identify unknown sellers online on online marketplaces. I'll be discussing and walking through some of the key tips that you could use. And at the end of the show, you'll be able to download at PriceSpider.com or DavidGHowell.com the full list of 10 awesome tips. What we're going to talk about today are the things that you could do before you hire someone like a David Howell. And I know that probably is counterintuitive that David Howell is going to talk to you about not giving him your money because that's what he does for a living. But that's, you know, that's why he's so good at what he does is he offers all this wonderful insight. So we'll get there's a list of 10 steps, and those 10 steps are available on PriceSpider.com. And David Howell's website as well. And we're going to share some information about that. It's davidghowell.com and it's pricefighter.com. So there's 10 steps. And in those 10 steps, we're going to probably talk about five of them and give a little bit of insight. But you can download these 10 steps. And these are the things that you should do on your own before hiring a professional service to do these investigations. They're costly. And so unfortunately, in many cases, you may have to redo them or rediscover who these folks are because a lot of times it just seems their name. So that being said, we're going to talk about ways to use the best time, use your time wisely, use your budgets wisely. And before you even get to spending any of that money, these are the things that we can do to help you, or David can do at the end of the day to help you. So with that very long-winded introduction, I do want to give David the opportunity here. We're going to talk about number two, and that is search all aspects of the Amazon seller storefront pages for any contact information. So with that, David, maybe you could talk a little bit about why that's important and why that's a good place to start.
No, that's really good. And, you know, what a lot of people don't understand is, you know, they find these third-party sellers, and whether you got a good reporting aspect there, whether it's a client or a customer or an employee, however this third-party seller was brought to your attention. And we're going to focus a lot on Amazon, obviously, but any type of unknown individual that's out there, domainer or marketplace. But in this instance, you really want to look at the Amazon storefront because we're going to focus on Amazon. There's a lot of little tidbits in there that people don't think about. And a lot of times when, you know, the more sophisticated, they block everything out and there's a lot of canned information as far as shipping and tax and returns. But in reality, sometimes there's a phone number. Well, if there's a phone number, and we'll talk about how to actually get that phone number, if there's a phone number, capture that information. Well, there's also sometimes there's tax information, and this is one of my favorites, is you have to read into some of their seller stores, T's and C's or FAQs, and it will have, we collect sales tax in Colorado. Well, if I know the seller name, I know that they're in Colorado, you just shrunk my investigations down by 80%. Doesn't mean it's complete, but you've eliminated a lot of things I need to do. Now, I'm not saying it's a certainty that's getting there, but it's a little piece of that breadcrumb that's leading you down the trail. And then you look at feedback. You know, the feedback, just go down and don't always look at the positive. You need to jump right to that negative feedback or even some of those low neutral feedbacks, because somebody's going to go, I received this, you know, POS product and it came from Denver, Colorado, mailboxes, et cetera, and it was beat up. And you're like, okay, well, now I just got another piece of information. Or I called and talked to David Howell in their customer service and he was just a butthole. Well, now I know it's David Howell. I know it's David Howell in Colorado. Exactly. So you look at those things and you're like, you're piecing things together. And that's why it's important. And there's times that one nice thing, I'm not going to do a plug much for my organization because this is educational, but I will say one of the nice things about using someone like myself and my team, we're not lawyers. We're not a law firm. So our ability to do investigations is different than what a law firm or a legal entity would do. And one of those is when you buy a product and then you want to request a return or a refund and you want to say, I don't like it. It was broken. It was open. Now, In a legal world, that would be deemed like pretexting or obtaining information under false pretenses, because maybe it's not broken or what. But what I want is I want him to email me back a return label, or I want him to email me back, here's my email address, email me, because they want to make it right. Because understand, their Amazon store rating nowadays is extremely important to them, because that's how they're getting the buy box. That's how they're generating the sales. So a lot of times requesting a customer return gets another piece of information. So don't hesitate to kind of spend just 5 or 10 minutes and dissect that Amazon store down and kind of go through that. So there's a few other aspects of that, but we're going to touch base on those a little bit later, Anthony, as far as like product buys and things of that nature. So that's number two.
Yeah. I think it's two things I want to point out is all this information of things that you should be doing on your own as a brand. And these are 10 steps that are free that you can spend time and reduce that need to do investigations by 80% and leave the last 20% or 10 sellers, whatever it might be. That's where you spend your money on. That's where you can kind of dive in and use some of those budget dollars. But all these things we're talking about today are free activities, free actions, free resources, free steps to achieve your goal. So that's first and foremost. I want to point that out. But the other piece is Amazon was made one little minor change, and I want to point out, David and I talked about this offline, is when someone changes their seller name like they used to and go to from, you know, Tony's shop to Anthony's shop, when they change to Anthony's shop, they lose all that track and sales information and that seller rating. So they're less inclined to do that anymore. So they're more apt to stick to that name. So it's, I would say, easier, but they're certainly, it's a richer target field out there. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's what's happening, and it's they're getting to the point where it's important to keep them stores, and that's where sometimes those returns or refunds are very important to them. Negative feedback is very important to them because you don't want to lose that seller rating, if you will. And you know we're looking to exploit that from an investigation standpoint to identify that. So that's a really good point. The days of popping up and selling a whole bunch of a product for 3 days, shutting it down and opening up another one, those days are very much diminished.
Yeah, they have. And so the other thing before we transition into the next point is look on other marketplaces as well, not just Amazon. And please be clear, this isn't an Amazon bashing session. What should be pointed out is Amazon will expose your e-commerce weaknesses. It's not Amazon's fault that you have a lot of unauthorized or unknown sellers. At the end of the day, this is going to be hard to hear for the brands. It is your fault as a brand. And it's also your responsibility to clean that up from a brand integrity perspective, in my opinion. So this is not Amazon bashing, but Amazon will expose kind of holes in your e-commerce strategy. So we're here to help you kind of figure that out. But other marketplaces like Walmart and, you know, pick the other marketplace, people for some reason are less apt to cover their identity there. I don't know why that is. Would you agree with that, David, or am I off base there?
No, I think you're right. Each e-commerce is going to have their own kind of their own terms and conditions and policies on how you can sell in their platforms. And what I'll do is I'll use an eBay example here really quickly, because it does lead into kind of the next one. When you're searching and, to your point, finding other identities. Well, from an eBay perspective, if they're moving a lot of product on Amazon, there's a good chance they're also capturing some product on selling on eBay. And I'm able to associate those sellers, and that's part of the investigation problem, is search there and see if there's another seller on there. Well, eBay has a process that when you buy a product, you can do what's called a PIA request or a personal information acquisition. You have PayPal information if you paid via PayPal. And a lot of times you can associate those because their eBay store, the logo that's in there is the same as the logo that's on their Amazon store, or there's different things. Now, I can really go into 15 more segments with Anthony here on education on where I buy a product. I actually have bought a product from eBay, paid for it via PayPal, and have received Amazon Prime, right? They're playing the game. They're capturing the sale on eBay, but fulfilling it through their own Amazon store. And it's a shell game there. But in our instance, that's a good shell game because you can't hide your information that well on the eBay platform. And then Walmart is the same way. The Walmart does show that information a little bit more. Now, the caveat to that, though, Anthony, is they're learning that. So they're starting to wean away from those marketplaces. Yeah. But if they've ever sold, I can still capture some of that information as well. So again, they're learning this. We all know that Amazon is definitely the larger of the marketplaces where the majority of sales. So they're okay dumping those avenues and promoting the Amazon store more. But that legacy stuff we go look at, and that goes to that next point is searching Google, right? Searching Google. Don't just think of Google as your primary search. Use Google, use Chrome, use Safari, use your phone app, use a MacBook. Each search results are going to bring you back something different, but be creative how you're searching. Don't dump in Tony's Electronics as that's the store. There's a few little tricks there. And again, not giving away the whole thing here, but I want everybody to be educated to be able to try to do this on their own. You get a marketplace ID and you can cut and paste that ID in the search engine as well. If they have a logo, you can dump in that search engine into the search engine and search that logo. There's variations you can find. And it's important that think a little bit outside the box when you're doing that Google search. Don't just get frustrated and type in, you know, Anthony's Electronics and go, oh, it just leads me to all of his store stuff and you're just done. Jump to the last page of the results. Jump to the middle, you know, page of the results. Play around with it.
I agree. I you know, this is a war of attrition and it doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to be able to sit down and in 15 minutes crank out an investigation and be 100% successful. It might take you 3 or 4 days to kind of piecemeal it at different times of the day. So transitioning into the next point, this would be the kind of the third point of our conversation here, is search Facebook for the seller store name. And you mentioned doing reverses to identify a DBA or a contact name. So is Facebook another one of those kind of leading trends, if you will, to get some information because people are more more willing to expose themselves?
Yes, and I'll probably be the only one that's either on this or ever listens to this and probably does not have a Facebook account. So I'm not a big Facebook fan. So, but the important part of Facebook is people like to brag, and they like to promote it. And there's a trend happening right now. And Anthony, you and I actually didn't touch on this a couple weeks ago when we first started talking about some of this for a series. But I've had a very large amount of my current clients have Facebook ads that are linking to the Amazon store. And what's happening is they're generating traffic that way. And if to put up those ads, they have to have an account. So when we associate that account, now we all know how Facebook is. And Facebook's, again, we're picking on Facebook, but there's a lot of other social medias like LinkedIn, some of these others that go to the next points. But the social media aspect, there's, again, giving you pieces and parts to find that information. And it's amazing when you know, I've done some very fun stuff that you find, let's say Anthony's Electronics is promoting on Facebook. He's hiding all his information. He puts a post up and then your brother liked it and shared it. And now I have his information and I'm piecing those back and they're all in Colorado. There comes a point where I'm like, okay, I've got it, right? And you know, as we go down here and we talk about a couple other steps, you'll see how you validate that data. But social media is extremely important because it's a traffic aggregator now. People are moving away from Google AdWords more to Facebook ads, more to LinkedIn ads and promotions. And it's amazing to see that transition over time.
Yeah, for sure. So we have two more points to talk about. So I'm going to quickly step over the next one and just kind of maybe do it quickly. Use the Whois contact information at Domain Tools, and that's domaintools.com. It sounds obvious, but the Whois information is a layer of information that people have to assign when they open, when they stand up a website. Many times you get paid to have your information or identity hidden, which is fine, but it's a good place to check if they've got multiple websites, multiple brands. So don't just try one of their websites, kind of tag a few of their different ones because they might have forgotten just one. It depends on how they got things set up, but that's a really good, easy thing to do. So unless you disagree with my point, David, maybe we could jump on to the next one.
I agree with it. Just one little thing I want to add. If you pay for a domain tools premium, like we do here at our organization, you get what's called a who was report, which lets you know from the very first day they register that domain name. So even if the last 3 years they put a privacy protect and hidden it or hided it. There's, you know, let's just say that, you know, I'm an investigator and an IP guy. I'm not a grammar guy. Okay. So back up a little bit and say the who was information, that's going to show who owned it to begin with. And there's two pieces of who is information that can never be changed. So you can change privacy protect, you can change DNS records. The creation and expiration date of a domain name can never be changed unless that domain name expires, goes out to the open market, and is re-registered. So just by, you know, the research going back and seeing those two things have never changed, and Anthony Capozzoli still owns that domain name, I can come to that conclusion. And domain names are becoming more and more relevant. Because if their store name is doing so good on Amazon, they're going to create an entity, they're going to register the domain name, even if to only have an email address to that domain name, like, you know, returns at anthonyelectronics.com. Yeah. So we're seeing that more
that's,
and more.
That's great. You know, and you're right about, so thanks for adding that who was, I forgot that layer, but that's an important piece. And finally, we've gone a little longer than the 15 minutes we promised, but I think the content here is so good that we're going to talk about this last component, which is product buys. So I'm going to turn it over to you, David, because this is always something that I understood them. I know how they work, but you're the expert. So if you can maybe talk a little bit about why a product buy is a great near final step.
Okay. So that's a good, the reason why I put it at the last step, sometimes you may want to just jump to the first step, and I'll talk about that in a second, but the product buy is at that point where, okay, I want to buy the product for multiple different reasons. Maybe it's to identify who the seller is. Maybe it's to see actually what the product I'm receiving is. Is it fulfilled by Amazon? Was it an open box, returned, remanufactured? There's 50 different things we could talk about on why you would do a product buy. For an investigation reason, when you're thinking of doing a product buy, and I want everybody that hears this either today or a year from now, please listen here. Don't buy your product. There's no real reason to buy your product. So if you have a seller, Anthony's Electronics, and he's got a whole bunch of products all over the place, and you're Sony, and you got a $2,800 TV you're trying to shut down, Anthony probably selling a $3 HDMI cable. You're going to get the same information. You don't need to find the TV unless you're tracking back the serial number on that. Buy the cheapest product, non-FBA. So make sure it's, you know, most of these stores, they have products in there that are not fulfilled by Amazon. So you're going to get where they shipped that product from. Maybe it's a mailbox, et cetera. Maybe it's something else, but it's another piece of that information. So I can't even explain how many tubes of toothpaste or chapstick or, you know, baby wipes or all this stuff that I've had from buying all these product buys because I don't need to spend a lot of money. Now, we talk about this as the last point. There's a time that I'll look at you if you're a client and you come to me and you've got these 15 sellers you want me to investigate. If I know five of them, I can do a product buy for $3 or $4. I'm going to take those five. I'll initiate a quick product buy under a few different accounts that we have just to have a little anonymity there. And I'm going to go and focus my time on those other 10 investigations. By the time I'm done with those 10, the other five will probably be delivered. Odds are at that point, I'll be able to identify those five and we've solved that problem. So don't think of it. And I say this in a lot of my podcasts and a lot of my messaging, I don't negotiate with terrorists, right? So I'm not encouraging buying product and making him money. It's about saving you money as the client going, you can pay me $250 to do all this stuff. Or if I can get him in 15 minutes, man, I'm just going to do the product buy and charge, you know, $50 just to get the product buy, get the document and get the evidence over to you. So product buys are very important and each marketplace is a little bit different, but it all comes to the same.
So we're at about 22-ish minutes here. So on this point, I do want to throw a couple more nuggets out there about the product buys and then we'll wrap because all this wonderful information, there's a series of 10 steps, well, actually 11, because the last one is contact David Howell or Anthony Capozzoli. But I do want to point out, okay, first of all, FBA, fulfilled by Amazon. You can quickly tell on Amazon if it's fulfilled by Amazon or not when you're looking at the seller. So that's something you have to look out for, because if you buy a product that is fulfilled by Amazon, you're defeating your own purpose. I want to point that out because that's come back a few times. Well, I bought this product, but it was fulfilled by Amazon. Well, you need to listen to this podcast. Because that's an important piece. The other thing is don't use a company credit card that can be, you know, with your name on it, the company name on it. You have to use an anonymous credit card or a team member's credit card that isn't on the website or something, so that they can't figure out, because these sellers are pretty smart these days too, and they will look and refuse or decline to sell you your product. They can just cancel this. They can cancel the sale. So the right, David? Like, is that, that's happened a few times before where people use their company credit card or use a company credit card from the president, and the president is on the website.
Yep. Yeah. So what we always recommend, and we have a couple that we have floating around where we do a lot of prepaid visas. And, you know, we have things like that in our different couple different accounts to have that little bit of a separation and understand too, if they do deny to ship you a product and then refund your money, that counts against them as a store. So if they've done that, they know you're looking at them at that point, and they're willing to take that that little hit from an Amazon rating to say, I'm not fulfilling this product for whatever reason it may be. So yeah, just be, you know, put a little thought about it, and you can reach out to Anthony or I anytime with a quick question, and we're glad to help.
So with that, we're at 23 minutes. David, it is always awesome to have you on the show. So listeners, please go to pricespider.com and you can download the entire list of these 10 steps you could use in these investigations on your own. You can also go to davidghowell.com. David, you're a rock star.
Thanks a lot, everybody.